and feel the presence of God, no matter what day of the week it is, no matter where we are in life, no matter what's going on around us, God is still God. And I'm thankful for that, that He reminds us day after day that He is big enough to handle anything and everything that we go through. Amen. Let's stand together. We're going to go to the word of the Lord here. Let us remember to keep Pastor and Sister Glover in our prayers as they travel, as their way. Pray that God bless them and use them as they are in Kiana. Church got dedicated yesterday, I believe. It's an exciting thing.
Tuesday.
Thought it was... Okay. Tuesday. God is good. We're going to go to 1 Samuel chapter 15, verses 1 through 3. We're going to start in 1 through 3. It's 1 Samuel chapter 15, starting in verse 1. Man, I don't plan on being too terribly long today, if you'll preach with me. And if pay attention, I'm looking at right down there, Nathaniel. Amen. 1 Samuel chapter 15, verse 1. And Samuel said, also said unto Saul, "The Lord sent me to anoint thee to be king over this people, over his people." He didn't say they were Saul's people. He said his people. "Over Israel, now therefore hearken thou unto the voice of the words of the Lord." You're the man, but I'm the one in charge. I like that. "Thus saith the Lord of hosts, I remember that which Amalek did to Israel, how he laid in wait for him in the way, and when he came up from Egypt. Now go and smite Amalek, and utterly destroy all that they have, and spare them not, but slay both man and woman, infant and suckling, ox and sheep, camel and ass." In essence, every single thing. Every bit of them, every memory. They are to go. You may be seated. Now, Saul had his own way of doing things. He had his own way of interpreting what God had said. And that's really what a lot of people try to do nowadays, is interpret the Word of God. And interpret what God very clearly outlined here. It wasn't like there was a doubt, like there was a maybe or an if or a but, or use your own imagination here. It's very direct. But the result of Saul doing what he thought was right was that God took from him the kingdom. And he said in verse 22 through Samuel, 1 Samuel chapter 15, 20, verse 22, "And Samuel said, Hath the Lord as great delight in burnt offerings and sacrifices as in obeying the voice of the Lord? Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." Saul tried to save some of the things, some of the cattle, some of the properties that they had, and say it was a sacrifice. But that wasn't what God wanted. "Behold, to obey is better than sacrifice, and to hearken than the fat of rams." He says, "I would rather you listen to me. I'd rather you know who I am and you'd follow through." And if we're going to put a title, we're going to say trust and obey. I thought about saying because I said so, but that didn't quite fit near as well. Romans chapter 16, verse 19. We're going to go through scriptures here very quickly. Good news is I only have about 8 pages of notes, and most of them are scripture. That's the better news. Romans chapter 16, verse 19 says, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men, and I'm glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." He's glad of the obedience that the church had exhibited in this passage. In other words, that the church would be experienced in good works, actions, and lifestyle, and not following after wicked ways, not knowing how to go around the system or work it or try to manipulate the word of God or live a lifestyle that was not pleasing to God. But the next verse is what we're looking forward to. Romans chapter 16, verse 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. And the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you." Amen. We're looking for that victory. We're looking for the victory that comes through God, through His Word, through obedience, through trusting in Him. 2 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 1 says, "Having therefore these promises, dearly beloved, let us cleanse ourselves from all filthiness of the flesh and spirit, perfecting holiness in the fear of God." Perfecting holiness in the fear of God. If we look through this chapter, we can see that there was some course correction that this group of people had to make. And there was a pursuit that they had to make. A pursuit that we have been called to. A seeking after God. We have the promises of God. We're seeking to please Him. Seeking to know and to walk in His ways. Proverbs, I like Proverbs. It's very direct. And it tells us that if we are, how would we put this today? Not as intelligent as we should be, we can look to the Word of God. We can look to the things of God and gain what we lack. Galatians chapter 5, excuse me, we'll go to Matthew chapter 22, verses 35 through 40. And there were some folks around Jesus that didn't necessarily like what He was talking about, didn't like what He was representing, didn't like who He was. And here's how it starts. "Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked Him a question, tempting Him, and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?'" Well, it's a good question. You know, what is the one thing that we really need to be focused on? Yet he was trying to trick him. "But Jesus said unto him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these commandments hang all the law and the prophets.'" To love the Lord our God with all our heart, with all our soul, with everything that we are, everything that we have, and everything that we do, say, think, experience, with everything. This is first and foremost. If we get this down, everything else just comes naturally. Galatians chapter 5, verse 14. "For the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself." Making sure that they're not just taken care of, but they know who Jesus is. That they know who we serve. Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 through 25. "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And against such there is no law." If we want to reach out to those around us, we need to be exhibiting these. These are the fruit of the Spirit. Now, fruit comes when something is alive, when something is well. And reading on, "And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lusts, and we live in the Spirit. If we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit." We need to be walking after the things of God. We seek to please God, to pursue His desires for us and not our own. Now, Pastor keeps telling us there is more. There is more in Christ. There is more to discover. There is more to pursue. There's more to gain. And I want to hear in Matthew chapter 25, verse 21. And it says, "His Lord said unto him, 'Well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter thou into the joy of thy Lord.'" We know there's a joy that passes understanding, that passes all kinds of expectation. And I want to get there. Yet there is a time between here, or excuse me, between then and now. We don't necessarily know how long that is. It could be a minute, an hour, a day. It could happen in children or grandchildren's time. Who knows? But yet, as Galatians 6, verse 9 says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap, if we faint not." Have you ever been out in the sun so long that you get kind of just absolutely drained? Sunstroke. Everything, your strength just completely leaves you. People, if they're not careful, they collapse. Just completely out. Wiped out. But yet, the Lord knows how to take care of us. David, he said it so well. He takes me by those green pastures, the rivers, the still waters. But yet, we have to keep on going. Titus chapter 3, verse 8 says, "This is a faithful saying, and these things I will that thou affirm constantly." So he's saying, keep this in mind. Pay attention to this. "And that they which have believed in God might be careful to maintain good works. And these things are good and profitable unto men." So he's saying, these are things that are going to benefit you. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 2. "For kings and all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty." We read the fruit of the Spirit before this. Against such things there is no law. There is no way to break this world's laws if we're following after God. It's impeaceable. It's peaceable. Life in all godliness and honesty. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7, "But refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness." That word kind of caught my attention there, exercise. Mm. We all know that exercise requires effort, consistent effort. Before service, I was told that someone here works out 6 days a week. I was thinking to myself, that is a lot. But it requires consistent effort. It's not a Sunday, Thursday effort, but it is an everyday effort living for God. 1 Timothy chapter 4, verse 8, "For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things." So bodily exercise, we know it's important to keep healthy. "But godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is," so this life, "and of that which is to come." See, there are things that we need to avoid, actions that we need to avoid, places, and yes, even people that sometimes we need to avoid. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 11. I told you there's going to be a lot of scripture here. We're just going to keep on rolling. "But thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness." Now, in the verses before this, he was talking about the wicked things, the idolatrous things. But he's saying, follow after these things, righteousness, godliness, faith, love, patience, meekness. And verse 12, "Fight the good fight of faith." It is a battle. It is a war. It isn't won just by one battle, just by one day. But it's a daily event for us. "Fight the good fight of faith. Lay hold on eternal life." That is something worth fighting for. "Whereunto thou art also called, and hath professed a good profession before many witnesses." See, once we've stood for the things of God, there isn't really a going back, a turning away. It's got to be consistent, moving forward. It isn't like a light that we can turn it on and off at our convenience. Now, if you're kind of like me, I like to have the light off if nobody's in the room, if they're not using it, if it's just being set aside. But our life with God can't be like that. It can't be set off and aside and we just go into it when we want to experience that light, that life. has to be with us each and every day. 2 Timothy chapter 3, verse 5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That's a hard verse. We must walk in the fullness of what God has given us, not a part, not a portion, not a measurement, but the fullness. Ephesians chapter 4, verses 13, and reading on, till we all come in the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ. So there's a fullness of Christ. And I don't know necessarily where God took Moses when he placed him in the cleft of the rock. And as he walked by, he covered him, walked by, let him see the back. I don't know how big that place was, but it kind of makes me wonder, was it really about the size of the Grand Canyon? Is that something that could really contain God? There's a fullness of God that Moses could only see a portion. Yet there's a fullness to God. In verse 14, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Remember how early we talked about how we're to be wise in good things and ignorant of the evil? Doesn't mean necessarily ignorant, means unexperienced. There's a difference between ignorance and inexperience. But they're saying, whereby they lay in wait to deceive. Verse 15, but speaking the truth in love. There's got to be love in there. May grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. So there's, we all know, we've all been through it. Once we're little, now we're not so little. We're growing in, what was the word, experience, in wisdom. In wisdom, growing in wisdom. We are to grow in Christ. Grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ. In verse 16, from whom the whole body, fitly joined together. The whole body fit perfectly together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth. In other words, we need each other. The body needs each other. The ligaments don't work too well without the muscles. The bones, the muscles don't move too well unless there's a bone connected there. When the bone is broken, the whole body hurts. Some of us are very well aware of that. But every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. So every part has a purpose, making increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. We are to edify one another, reach out to grow, encourage, lift up one another. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 5. And besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. Once again, pastor keeps telling us there's more. Add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness. In verse 7, to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness charity. You know, sometimes I wonder how big of a list did these apostles just start adding? They just start adding. How big is this list going to get? How much more is there to grow in? It's a challenge, yes. But it's an encouragement knowing that we're given this challenge not so that we can fail, but that we can succeed, that we can pursue after God, knowing that God is there with us each step of the way. There is that more to step into. 2 Peter chapter 3, verse 11. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, everything in this world is going to pass away. What manner of persons ought you to be in all holy conversation and godliness? What are we supposed to be like each and every day? We're to pay attention to this. See, everything in this world passes except our God, for the things of God, our relationship with God. It has to stand firm, trusting Him to follow through on the promises that He has given us. Each of us in this room have received promises. Promises from God. And collectively as a church, we've received promises. We have to trust Him to follow through on His part of the promise. And being obedient to what He has said. He's not going to just hand over the keys to everything. It's kind of like getting a driver's license. You may have that license, but you need to learn the skills to operate that vehicle. And hopefully, you have the skills before you get that license. I can remember when I was learning how to drive a car. We got the permit. Glad for it. But there were skills that had to be learned. And I hated parallel parking. There are some things that we may have to learn, that we may have to grow in. In closing, if you'll stand with me. Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. It says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding." If we want to gain understanding, we can look to the Word of God. We can go to Him in prayer. I'm so thankful for that. In preparing for this, I'm like, God, really, what is Your will? God, what do You want me to do? And it's like He just put trust and obey. It's like trust and obey. Okay, I can follow. Oh, is that what You want me to talk about? Trust and obey. Verse 6 says, "In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths." When we put our trust in Him, when we follow through, we know that He's going to direct our path. He's going to show us the path to take. Scripture tells us that He's a light to our feet, a lamp. Now, a lamp, sometimes it doesn't go as far as we may think it should. But yet those glimpses that God gives us are just enough for what we need right now. There's many times when if we knew everything that God had for us, we'd be so scared we couldn't move. But yet just by keeping us consistent, helping us to stay consistent, showing us the path ahead of us. And yes, sometimes we can stand on those mountaintops and see a great distance off. Great distance off. But sometimes it's just that daily, God, what is Your will for today? What do You want me to do? What is it that I am to do for You? In all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. Let us come tonight. Let's come to the altar. Let us allow the Lord to direct us one more time as we pursue after Him.
To trust in Jesus.